I don't remember this, of course, because I was just a part of it, but Mom always told me, she says, I was a C-section baby. In other words, they had to go in and take me. But she, that was back before they could do what they do nowadays, and they had all the technology. So she said she laid for 72 hours in hard labor. Any of you women that's ever been in 10 minutes of hard labor can imagine. So she was about to die, I guess, and she was close, and they said they thought maybe I was going to go too. But she said, Lord, if you'll bring me through this, I'll serve you and I'll serve. I'll dedicate this child to you. From what I understand, she said, when I was born, this doesn't make me any more special than anybody else listening or watching, but she dedicated me to the Lord there in the hospital. Said, he'll serve you. And I'll serve you. So I thank God for my mom, and every one of us should, no matter who your mom is, if she's still on the planet or not, we're to honor our parents. Hallelujah. Let's talk about revivalist moms for just a moment. Let's go to Genesis. Well, let me just read. It's such a short. We're just going to kind of have kind of a devotional. There'll be no church tonight. We're going to bring up our moms here in a little bit, bless them, pray over them, maybe give a couple of them the opportunity to testify if they want to, because this is Mother's Day. So I think on Mother's Day, mothers ought to be able to say something if they like, if it's edifying. Genesis 3:20 says this, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Now, the word mother in the Hebrew means the bonder. It's the bonder of the family. That's what it means, point blank, in the Hebrew. So the bonder of the family. I want to project something this morning as we continue to have this service, is that all of you mothers in here and you mothers watching, that you begin to take upon yourself not a burden, but a sense of there's an anointing on my life to bind my family together and to bring them together. And it doesn't matter if your children are grown and they're in their 30s, 40s, 50s, or however old. You've got an anointing on your life, because the bonder of the family is the one who spiritually binds things together, as well as the word father in the Hebrew is the word chief or overseer. But the bonder of the family is the one who is in the mechanics of kind of holding everything, the glue that holds everything together. And God has anointed you mothers and you mothers watching with a specific purpose. From the very beginning of creation, when Adam called her Eve and said she's the mother of all living things, there was a pronouncement of a anointing on her life and all mothers that would proceed afterwards to bind the family together. Now, not all mothers realize that, and not all mothers are born again, and not all mothers serve God. But once they realize in Christ who they are, then there's an anointing for them to know, or there's an understanding for them to know that there's an anointing there for that purpose. From the time of Eve going forward, there has always been an anointing on mothers to bind the home together and keep them together. So the primary role, what's my role if you're a mother? What's your role as a mother? Well, it's a lot of different things, and I thank God for all you mothers that have to work. You have to work, and some of you enjoy working, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you realize that you have one call above all calls, and that is a keeper of the home, the binder of the family, keeping your children in a place. And what, like I said, they might be out of the home, but you continually go after them in the spirit. Your prayers for your children mean more than the influence of anything else in this world. Amen. And what they see about you and what they hear about you, even after they're out of the home, makes all the difference in the world. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, honor thy father and thy mother. Well, Pastor, the mother that you might be describing is not the one that I have. Listen, I don't care. I want to be careful here, but I don't care what your mother was. The word tells us to honor our father and our mother. Well, they're already gone. Listen, if they're gone to heaven or wherever, hopefully everybody's mom is in heaven, but in our hearts, there should be an honor there. And everything contrary to anything that was truth in their life, we need to continue that place of saying, Father, I honor my father and my mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee that thy days may be prolonged. This is one of the first, this is the first commandment with promise. How many of you want to live a long life? Make sure you say Happy Mother's Day today. It'll probably add 2 more years to your life. That thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee. I want things to go well. Now, I honor my father, my mother's in heaven, but I don't do that to gain prestige with God. But I do that as I desire to do that, and I know that it actually adds long life to my life. We are to honor our mother whether or not they have raised us to serve God. Revivalist mom. Now, let me talk about revivalist mom. Revivalist moms understand that the hour that they live in is vital. Esther 4:14. For if thou altogether, this is what her uncle said to her, and this is a famous verse, and this is something that you mothers should take into effect and realize that you live continually in this realization in Christ. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. Remember that whole story. The Jews were about to be annihilated. Esther was the queen. She had an opportunity to do something, and it was her hour. If she didn't step up at the right time, at the right hour, the Jews could be destroyed. This is a time where mothers, like no other time in history, have to come to a place where they realize, I have to stand between the world and my children through prayer, through fasting, staying in a place. And they have to realize that the time is now. Don't get distracted with a lot of other things. It's all right to do other things, but don't get distracted. Esther was encouraged by her uncle Mordecai to realize the hour. This is important for us to realize the hour, for you mothers to realize the hour. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come unto the kingdom for such a time as this? Mothers, you have come into the, I know mothers have always been, but we're getting closer to the revival and the coming of Christ. There's an escalation of the evil and darkness and deception. Somebody was telling me something this morning, it just, that's in the church now. I just can't hardly believe it. Some of the things that are in, I guess, Pentecostal churches. There's a deception coming to the churches. At the same time, our King is coming back. Jesus the righteous. And God has called you mothers to raise up godly seed. He's called you to realize the hour in which you live in, like Esther's, to say you are mothers of the hour. You are the ones that have been called for this time to continually stay in the presence of the Lord as often as you can and say, I'm pronouncing blessings over my children, over my sons and daughters. These are the future revivalists. Hallelujah. I don't know how long the revival is going to be. How many decades will it last before? I don't know. But if I go on to be with the Lord, we need some revivalists raised up. I've got some revivalists sitting right up here and right back there. Hallelujah. This is your time to raise up or continue to affect godly seed. All you mothers, listen, some of you are sitting out there and you might say, well, I've raised my kids, I've got grandkids, I've even got great kids, grandkids. Listen, there's no retirement. No retirement. No retirement, Norma. No retirement, Miss Barbara. Hallelujah. Revivalist moms are grooming for future preachers. Turn with me to, this is a good scripture. Turn with me to 2 Timothy, just a few verses. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Father. Revivalist moms are grooming for future preachers. Look at this. I wonder if Lois and Eunice, I don't know if that's a, yeah, that's the way to say it, I'm sure. I wonder if they knew when they, as the mother and grandmother of Timothy, if they knew that they were grooming him to one day be a protege of the Apostle Paul. Look in chapter 1, verse 3. It says, thank God whom I serve. Well, I'll start in 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, it's his spiritual son, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that is in thee also. Hallelujah. Both grandmother and mother were passing down something of faith. Now this wasn't then. They weren't able to, they didn't have Christ until Christ come along. But then wherever Timothy was when he, got old enough and Christ had came into the earth, they were already, if it was the Old Testament they were building in him, so that the moment that Christ came along and Timothy became a follower of Christ, nevertheless, they were building in him a future. God knew that Timothy was going to be called and that he was going to be a disciple of Paul. Listen, all you mothers, you may be today grooming, whether male or female, the female preachers are... Women, you're going to have your hour in this hour. Hallelujah. Like never before. God's going to raise up some Catherine Kuhlmans, Maria Woodworth Edders, Amy Semple McPherson, like never before. These are patriarchs of the faith. But male or female, you don't know what you're grooming today. Somebody said, well, they may be the president of the United States. You know, we always talk about our grandkids and we say good things like, oh, my God, they're so smart. They might be the president of the United States one day, or they might be the governor or something. We're just kidding. What if they're an evangelist that brings back the power of God on the planet? Are you a Eunice, a Lois? Are you a mother that is grooming your children to say, maybe this child, maybe this daughter, maybe this son is going to be one of the most powerfully used individuals on the planet in the days ahead. Hallelujah. That's our greatest desire, moms, to raise godly seed. Revivalist moms and grandmothers never stop praying for their children. Proverbs 22:6, you don't have to turn there, but it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Sometimes people say, well, I didn't get that training in. Well, I've got good news for you. Or even if your child does seem like they go astray, whatever the forever, everybody say forever, whatever the forever loser, say that, the forever loser. Somebody said, who's the forever loser? Satan, the liar, the deceiver. Because sometimes he'll say, well, they're lost. And you can't pray for, you know, it's not going to do any good to pray for them. Let me, you need to jot this down. If you don't get any other verse in this this lesson down, you're going to need this. Maybe some of you are going to need this in days ahead, or pass it on to somebody else. It's Isaiah 49, verse 24 and 25. Because sometimes the enemy will say, they're out there, they're doing things, you're praying for them, but they're willfully doing what they're doing. Maybe they're into drugs. Maybe they're into alcohol. Maybe they're into certain forms of immorality. Isaiah 49, verse 24 and 25 says this, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? Sometimes parents are praying for kids and the enemy neutralizes their faith because he comes at their mind and says, okay, you can pray for them, but they're willingly doing this. How can God step in and change things? But here's the answer. But thus saith the Lord. Abba. Thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered, for I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Hallelujah. God steps in even when it seems like their will is set. Even the lost conditions, even their lost conditions really don't matter. God, it does matter. God's going to save them. Hallelujah. Here's a paradox. Because of the war on the planet, two things are taking place, as I said. Because of the war on the planet, this is the most challenging generation to raise children. Of all, and to have children. I've heard people say, I don't know if I even really want to have children. Have them. We need godly women. Godly men, do not fear. Because of the war on the planet, this is the most challenging generation to raise children of all generations from the beginning of time. There is deception coming. I'm telling you, if you don't continue to utter your prayer language, it's going to be, it's sometimes the deception, deception's deception, but it can sound razor thin. Razor thin. And you're like, well, what's the difference? There's a big difference if you stay in the spirit. Hallelujah. Listen. Make sure you know who you're listening to. Because of the war on the planet, here's the paradox, as I said, I should have read them one after the other. Because of the war on the planet, this is the most challenging generation to raise children of all generations from the beginning of time. Because of the war for the planet, this is the most grace-filled generation to raise children of all generations from the beginning of time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God saw the end, there would be an incredible war. And the word says this in Romans 5:20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Now, this is, there's a more to this in context, but I just want to read this. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Hallelujah. So I'm taking that a little bit out, but overall it's not. God's grace for this last hour is going to be to help us save our children. The greatest thing that mothers and grandmothers can give their children is, as I said, a godly heritage. Praying for your children is vital. But you having a prayer life, praying for them is vital. But you yourself having a prayer life and an intimate walk with God is above all things most vital. Hallelujah. Because they're gonna get from you. It's going to emanate from you, you mothers out there in here. Mothers and grandmothers and spiritual moms, sometimes there's spiritual moms, And I've seen a lot of spiritual moms turn into real moms. Hallelujah. Mavis was one of those spiritual moms for a while. Now she's a spiritual mom and a real mom. Hallelujah. Must wear their spiritual combat boots until the day they graduate to heaven. Hallelujah. Revivalist moms teach other moms. Titus, you don't have to turn there, but Titus 2:3 says, the aged women likewise, and it doesn't mean necessarily age like as in physical age. It can mean spiritual aptitude. That the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women, or you could say the young mothers, to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The word keepers is one word, basically. I gave one definition for it, keepers at home. And it means to caring for the home, working at home. This is Thayer's, the keeper of the house, keeper at home, and taking care of household affairs, domestic. And again, I reiterate, I want to make sure I get this across. You women that have to work and you women that God has released you to have a career, that's wonderful. And God's anointing can be on that. But at the same time, there's an affirmation by the word of God, and I know it's working in these women, all you women that are in here, that you know that the first place in your life is your home. Keepers of the home, binders of the family, that's your first place anointing. And if that's being done, everything else God will watch over and keep. The revivalist moms, it's important that you are watchers on the wall, that you realize that sometimes the Holy Spirit will wake you up in the middle of the night or at inconvenient times and say, pray. Pray for your kids. It's at those times where you'd say, okay, does it really matter? Yes, it matters. It matters tremendously. I don't know why so many different things happen across America, and sometimes it looks like it's just there. I don't have an explanation to different things that happen and school shootings and all that. I know it's evil, but I do know this, that if he can, he'll stop something. And it doesn't even, there's been innocent, all those children, all the different ones, they're all innocent. They go to heaven if they're not at the age of accountability. But I don't want to be accountable to God that I could have stopped something if I was the intercessor that he laid his hand on. Hallelujah. And that's not to put a guilt trip on anybody and say, oh God, did I miss something? No. Let's just stay sensitive in the spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Revivalist moms, I don't know if I even have it in here anyplace. Or I thought I did. But anyway, revivalist moms are, they're lionesses in the spirit over their children. And they realize God's given me an anointing to protect my children. Now, my mom, I was remembering something this morning as I was sitting here. She was a sweet lady, but she also was strong-willed, wasn't she, to say the least. And I remember I was about Silas's age, and this is just a story and it's something that popped up in my memory of how protective my mom was. It's indicative of moms, just that lioness, don't mess with my child. And please, you guys know that I'm giving a spiritual example here. I'm not wanting to sow something like, don't be talking to my child that way. But I remember my mom, I was we were downtown. She was taking care of some business, and we were sitting in front of I don't know if it was a federal building or what, but it was like downtown Fort Myers. And I remember there were steps, but there was a bunch of steps going up to, I've told you this story before. There was a bunch of steps going up to this building or courthouse or whatever it was. And she was sitting in the car doing something at the steering wheel. And I got out. She allowed me to get on the steps and start playing. And I started going up and down those steps. And I was just a little guy, maybe smaller than Silas. And a lady, now I'm trying to remember this from, 60 years ago. So it might not all be just right. I might have this in my context. She come out and she said, "Don't be going up and down these steps anymore." So I got back in the car and I sat down and I was quiet. And she goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I hate to tell her." She goes, I said, "There's a lady just came out the door and told me stop going up and down the stairs." No. How would Medea do it? She said, "You get out." She goes, "Get back on the stairs." I said, "No, Mom, I don't want to get on." I don't think I did. But that was the kind of protectiveness in the natural that all mothers have. My child is precious. But how much more really in the spirit? That's what I'm trying to get across. Not natural things, but how much more in the spirit should revivalist moms be anointed to take care of their children? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask all the mothers to, let's all stand to start with. Hallelujah. Harry, give us a worship. Thank you, Jesus. Something to worship God with. I'm going to ask all the mothers to come forward. If you're a mother in the building today, I wish all of you that are watching could come. By the way, there'll be no church tonight. And let somebody go over next door and get the kids. Mike went to get them. Hallelujah. Moms, please come up. Worship the kids from next door coming in. They need to be here with their moms. Hallelujah. Sing it with us. Just magnify. Hallelujah. What a great group. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you ladies go ahead, the three of you, and pass. Would you just stretch your faith this way? I want to just pray over these mothers, and I'm going to pray. When I pray over them, I'm going to be also praying, believing that all mothers watching are going to receive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll let you ladies wait. I'll get a rose first because I want them to receive this prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just worship until we get they get served. We love you, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
Exalt you, Jesus.
Dance before you.
Worship you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
So lost without you.
Worship you, Jesus. Exalt you, Jesus.
So desperate for you.
Worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Well, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, those of you that are watching or here with us, stretch your faith this way in your hands. We bless these mothers. Father, I want to thank you for the anointing that you gave from the beginning of your word for mothers, the bonders of the home, the family. Now I pray, God, and I thank you for my mom, but I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that your glory will rest upon all of these and all these watching. I pray that in the name of Jesus, healing to their bodies. In the name of Jesus. Healing to all their bodies, Father. Restoration. Yes. Father, I pray that you'll visit them in the days ahead. And I pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that your glory, Father, will rest upon all of these. And in Jesus' name,
yes.
Father, I pray that your presence will cause them to be the intercessors that you've called them to be. Father, we love you. Father, we worship you. Father, rest upon all these moms in a very powerful way. In the name of Jesus, I bless them. I pray that every prayer that they're praying for their children, if their children, Lord, are needing to be born again, that every one of them come into the kingdom of God. That healings take place. Restoration take place. Your presence over their life. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we worship you. We worship you, Master. We love you, Jesus. We glorify you. Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Magnify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Would any of you ladies like to share just a moment? Well, you would? Wonderful. Oh, there you are.
Hallelujah. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. I just put down a couple of thoughts because I didn't want to forget something. First of all, I know that everyone knows that has got up here before that when I go home, the enemy's going to beat me up because I opened my mouth. But you know what? I don't care. It's worth the fight because when the Lord has something to say, just go ahead and say it because the enemy's a forever loser, as Bronx said. So anyway, I wanted to say that I told my mom a happy Mother's Day this morning. I said, Lord, if you could tell her, please give her a hug for me, just like Bronk was saying about his mom. And when he was saying about the bonder of the home, I was thinking about how real and how true that is. And I'm not speaking of myself right now. I'm speaking of my mom, Bronk's mom, and just thinking about the reality of how that when they were here on this earth, we always had our celebrations together as a family. And we always went to his mom's house for Christmas, Thanksgiving, to my mom's for Christmas, Thanksgiving. We'd even have days throughout the year that we would call family day. But do you know, when your mom's gone, for some reason, the children seem to just don't care no more. And I can't tell you when the last time was that I got together with my brothers and sisters all together. And it's real hard. So if you can, try to do that now. Try to let your mom be the bonder of the home and do things as a family together now, because it really is really hard for it to last. I know that life goes on and we just continue to do other things, but really don't forget your brothers and sisters, in the natural or in the church. But let your mother be the bonder of the home and just keep going and try to do that yourself as mothers. Try to bring your families together. It means so much. And I wanted to say that I wanted to share an experience that I had when I was at the conference last 2 weeks ago. I was thinking, now at that time, I didn't even think about Mother's Day coming up. And I was seeking the Lord, you know, it dawned on me, I realized of something that I had done about a year and a half ago that I thought I should not have done. I would go into a room in the backside of our house, and I had a chair, and that was my prayer chair. And I would go in there, and that was my room. I even had some people comment on it before. One young man came, and he pointed at me and he goes, "Mama, I know what that's for." And he's not my son, but he called me Mama, and he goes, "I know what that's for." And I said, "Yep, it is." But anyway, for some crazy reason, I was remodeling the room, not remodeling, but organizing things, and I decided to put that chair out because it took up too much space in that little room. And when I was doing it, I kind of had a check, but I thought, nah, I can pray out there in the living room, and I got a nice recliner out there. I'll just continue to pray there. But you know what? I think when I did that, I'm pretty sure I kind of stopped praying as much or as intimate, because I'm out there in the open. Bronk and I are home alone all through the week, but I'd get distracted. If you know me, you know I love to look out the window, see the birds, go out, do something to the pool. Get distracted real easy. But when I was locked up in that room, I wouldn't get so distracted. And I would pray. And a lot of that time was praying for family and friends. So anyhow, while I was on that big, or that, at the conference, I ordered on Amazon me a chair. So that chair is in my room now, and I'm so thankful for that chair, because I want to get back to the post in the, I'm not saying I'm not at my post. I'm just saying that I want to do it with more sincerity and do what I'm supposed to be doing as far as prayer. And the Lord told me that I needed that intimacy, and he reminded me of my first love that I had with him. So anyway, I'm going back to that. And now I'm going to speak just a little bit about my girls. Me as a mom, I'm so proud of my girls. And I could just stand here for a while and talk about them, but I'm not going to. I can't even look at them without crying. I'm so proud of them, of the wives they are, the mothers that they are for their children. And I was so blessed this morning when Bronk sent out a group text to me and Amber and Davey. And he just sent us a bouquet of flowers on a text and said, "Happy Mother's Day to the best wife and two best daughters." A text came back and telling me Happy Mother's Day, and one of them said, "Dad, we had the best mom. We're just like our mom. We had the best to learn by," and that touched me for her to say that. And I'm thankful for my girls and everything that they do. And as a mom, I want to say, you have to humble yourself. Just have to be humble. And realize that, too, that it's not just all about yourself. You've got family to pray for and take care of. But the other thing I wanted to share with, I'll get back to the chair, and something the Lord showed me. And I was so thankful he gave me something to pray about that was more than what I had been doing before. And with it being Mother's Day, it's amazing, because he told me what you can do is pray for the ladies of your church more than I had been. And he even told me, make the list. And I did. I made the list. I'm pretty sure I have just about everybody's, all the ladies' names. And he didn't say, don't pray for the men, but he did emphasize for me as a woman to pray for the ladies of the church. So that's what I'm doing. And I have your names, and I want you to know that I'm calling out your name as often and praying a prayer over you guys. And I just want to, I would like to say a prayer for the mothers. So, and the ladies, not just the mothers, but all the ladies, the little girls, this prayer is for you. Father, I thank you for the ladies of our church. I thank you for the little girls, the teenagers, the adult girls, the elderly women. Lord, I pray, God, just that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done in their lives, and that they, everyone, would learn to have an intimacy with you that they haven't had in their past. Lord, I pray that you would comfort their hearts and help them to be the wives and the mothers that you desire for them to be. And Lord, I thank you that you protect them as they go and come from work, or they work around their house or drive, wherever they're doing and wherever they're going. God, I thank you that your hand is upon them. And I thank you, Lord, that they will have a sincere heart to serve you all the days of their life. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, well, come over here. Somebody said, I'll just cry. They said, make sure you hold it up.
I just want to say God has blessed me with some beautiful children, and even my daughter-in-laws. I don't even call them daughter-in-laws. They're my daughters. And with what happened, I mean, first it was Maya that she lost her baby, and then with Jayla, you know, when they're hurt, we all hurt, you know. And I'm glad that when Pastor said about binding the family together, I didn't grow up that way, but I knew that when I had kids that I was going to be like that. And we do. Every weekend we get together. And even like with the twins, if we don't see them in a couple of days, Julia, where's the girls? Bring them over. And, you know, just, we're just like best friends. And I'm glad that we were able, that I brought them up like that. Well, me and my husband, and godly, we pray for each other. And when my issue came with, when I was diagnosed with cancer, I was like, I even told him, I said, if I know nothing's going to happen to me, but ever something ever happens to me, please keep it going, even with your children, grandchildren, I said. But I thank God that I'm healed. I'm healed. I mean, they say it's in remission, but I'm saying that it's not coming back. It's not. And I just also want to say, I mean, my daughters, they've all working mothers, have kids, and they come home and do what they got to do, and we're blessed, and I'm blessed. My mother's still here with me. So, but thank you all for your prayers. I really thank you.
Amen.
I just want to say happy Mother's Day to the best mama ever. I'm sorry, y'all. I know I wouldn't be here in Florida serving the Lord if it wasn't for you. So thank God for a praying mama. I hope one day I'm just as half as amazing as the woman that you are. I love you.
Happy Mother's Day to all you ladies and the little ladies that's growing up. I left home at an early age, lost, didn't have Jesus. Brought a family, had children. I had Jerrica and her sister. I didn't teach them about Jesus. I didn't bring them up teaching them about Jesus. But I gave them the world. I gave them everything that they wanted, but I did not give them Jesus. But when I turned my life around, now me and my family, we pray together. We read together every night. You cannot raise a family without Jesus. You cannot raise a family on your own strength. You got to have the Lord in your home. It's impossible.
Amen. 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 Good preaching. Okay. No. You can't say anything.
If I had my Bible up here, I would turn to some scripture. Like one of them in Psalms, it says, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. But I want to encourage the young ladies and the young men that haven't found their spouse yet. The Bible says that children are an inheritance of the Lord. That means his inheritance, his reward. Children are his reward. And you can't have the children without the spouses, without the godly spouses. So in the name of Jesus, I call forth the godly spouses for these young men and these young women, that they can begin to have godly seed and godly marriages, Lord. I call them in, these godly men and women, to this place. And I thank you, Lord, and I bless you.
Amen. Last chance. Okay.
I just want to encourage every mother that no matter what goes on in your children's lives or new moms out there, that you just stand and you pray, because you will see the salvation of the Lord in their lives. You don't ever give up. You just keep praying and praising. And I can stand here today. I stood for 6 years. And that's really a short time. But I had a child that was estranged from me. And it was because of even a sermon that I preached that they turned away. But I just stood and I prayed and I thanked God. And this year, my children were restored to me. My child did get a hold of me and is talking to me again. So we stand on the word. And I pray right now for all the moms. I pray that anyone that has estranged children, that those children will get a hold of their mother. They will talk to their mother again. They'll forgive. They'll forget what even all the deception that the enemy has done in their lives, that they perceive things wrong. Even about their mom, or even things that may have been done. But we walk in love and forgiveness, and these children get a hold of their mothers, and they forgive them, and they love them, and they're restored in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sorry, I felt like I should say something. So I grew up Baptist, and my peepaw was a pastor of the Baptist church, and he's an amazing man. He taught me everything about God, and there was not a moment that I didn't know him. And when I got older, I just felt like something was missing, and something inside me was seeking something more. And then I met Robert, and he very gently showed me truth, and everything changed after that. And and when I started coming to church, I just felt so like loved and important, and like I was meant for something, and before I didn't feel that. And so I was just every day or every Sunday I was like so excited to come to church and learn more. And then I had Clark, and then something inside me changed, and I was just like, oh, why would I go to church if I'm just going to be in the nursery? And some Sundays were so hard that I just didn't even try. And then I battled postpartum depression really hard. And then in 2023, I think it was, a prophecy came through a pastor, and I was sitting at home in my pajamas because I just didn't even try that day. And
the Lord said, it felt like he was speaking right to me, and he said something like, I see you, you are important. What you do is so important, and to not give up and to keep going. And then after that, something changed, and I just wanted to get myself better for my kids. And when I came to church, even though I was rocking my kids to sleep in the nursery, like just now I was rocking Charlie to sleep while everyone was doing worship, but there was so much joy in my heart, and it just changed so much. And because recently he's just been showing me how motherhood is your ministry, and it is important, and it's kind of the most important, and it has just helped me so much. So I just felt like I needed to say that to encourage, especially the young moms that are either, you know, too tired to try or just feel like you're doing nothing by being in the nursery. You know, you're doing something very important, even if you're just rocking your kids to sleep. So.
Hi, everyone. This is Theo. His name means gift from God. And he's 9 years in the making. And at our house, we started saying, bless the babies. And half the time, it's kind of a joke. It'd be like, you forgot to say bless the babies. You gotta bless the babies. And we just say it over and over. And one day, he came into the world. And so, don't give up. And miracles happen.
Just want to echo something that Bailey said. The enemy came at me really, really hard with postpartum depression and anxiety after Luke was born. And I'd had a lot of chronic illness issues and stuff, and that changed my heart on motherhood. I was afraid of it. I saw it as a threat. I saw kids as a threat, but that was fear. And I also was in the public school system for, not knocking public school, you guys. If the Lord tells you to send your kids to public school, send them. If the Lord tells you to homeschool them, homeschool them. But I did all you know, public education, and I went to college. And then a year out of college, I married Harry. And then 5 years later, I got pregnant. And I didn't realize how much of the world had indoctrinated my brain to view kids as the threat. They're not the threat. The way that seems right to a man is the threat. The things that make you double-minded, the things that make your heart impure, that's the threat. It's not the kids. It's not the marriage. It's not the family. It's not serving God. And I feel like a lot of women my age, millennials, anybody listening out there, it can be hard to learn that lesson sometimes until you go through it, which I had to do. I'm not saying that's the way God wanted it, but I had to learn it the hard way. But the Holy Spirit led me through it, and he had me talk to different women, and He changed my heart. I really didn't think it was possible. There were so many times that I was here, and like Bailey said, you're in the nursery and you're rocking your baby and they're screaming and you're just like, what am I doing here? You know? But he changed my heart. And if anything, if anybody comes at Luke, I'm going to throw hands. So yeah, it's possible to change the heart. Kids are not the threat. Stay strong, spend time with the Lord, and be strong in the power of his might.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wow. Thank God. Glory, glory. Thank you, Father. Father, we give you all the praise. Thank you for this hour. Abba, we love you. We love you. Thank you for our mothers. Thank you for these testimonies, Lord. We give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. No church tonight. We're going to bless our mothers, Take him to the finest restaurants. Even let him play in the cage. That's an old joke, right? That's gotten really old. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Praise God. Thank you, mothers. Thank you for all those wonderful, powerful testimonies. Amen. Thank you. You're blessed and abundantly blessed. Have a wonderful day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.